We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, we're welcome to the first Sunday of 2025. We thank God for His mercies. In the year 2024, as a people, we enjoyed a lot of mercies from God. And we thank God for the shofar. The shofar is a prophetic kingdom meeting that opens the year for us as an assembly. What the visions of God are casted upon our hearts for us to be able to come into the grace that Jesus has marked for us for this season. So you're all welcome. So this morning, let's just go straight into the Word. We are going to look at the broadening of the Spirit that is termed the armor of meekness or armor of meekness. And I believe it's fetched from an understanding of God's desire to bring us into greater accuracy in this season of massive onslaught against the kingdom of darkness. Can we all say amen? It's a season where the people of God must be instructed, established, properly schooled in the wisdom of spiritual warfare, or better say, advanced spiritual warfare. We must be well instructed in this season on the tactics of spiritual warfare. One of the things I perceive that the enemy has attacked, there is something that the enemy has attacked within the consciousness of the Christian faith. Generally, when you sample the general opinion of most believers, there is a very low understanding concerning spiritual warfare, or even no understanding at all. I remember growing up in the faith, a lot of teachings were taught concerning what we now call basic spiritual warfare. I won't forget those teachings, books, materials, understandings, things taught by our fathers in the faith, people like the late Kennedy again, people like Bishop Oyedepo, Daddy Adeboye. I remember growing up reading some of their materials on spiritual warfare. People like Bishop Walioke. And all, it was a common thing. So you grow up in the faith knowing so much about your authority as a believer. Can we say amen? Amen. That is still very fundamental and very crucial, because the Christian faith is a journey of constant collision against the powers of darkness. Let me say that again. The Christian journey is a journey of constant collision against the power of darkness. You can't be a Christian and you are a neutral Christian. You know what I mean, neutral Christian? There's no neutral Christian. It's either that you are standing strong militarily in the values of the kingdom of God, waging war against the kingdom of darkness, or you have been conquered by the enemy. So the consciousness of spiritual warfare is very, that sense I perceive is not so common, or is not properly taught with prophetic apostolic wisdom to properly equip the people of God to be able to stand as militants, soldiers, triumphant believers, advancing the kingdom of God in the earth. Can we all say amen? Well, one of the things I believe that God is doing in these last days is to bring an installed and consciousness back into the church. Can we say amen? The last day church, the overcoming church, is a triumphant church. Can we all say amen? Many of you have read Triumphant Church by Hagin. It's a triumphant church. It's a militant church. It's an advancing church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So, if the gates of hell will not prevail against it, it means that church is advancing against the gates of hell. It is not a defensive church alone. It is offensive in its approach towards the purposes of God. Can we all say amen? So God must establish us, school us, ground us in the understanding of how we need to take our stand against the advance of the gates of hell, against the church of God. So thus, why we have to look at this understanding again. Okay, so the interesting thing is that your warfare increases as your level of understanding increases. Let me say that again. So you're not going to fight the same devils you fought 2-3 years ago. As you grow, your warfare increases. And many of us are not aware of that. And as certain things changes over your temperature, over your heavens, the the spiritual warfare over your heavens change as more understanding is granted to you. As your level changes, your devil changes. You know what I'm talking about? New level, new devil. And it's the truth. It's not slang. It's the truth. Okay? You face new devils when your levels in the spirit changes. So it's very important for us to understand how we can wage a good warfare. Give me that scripture. How we can wage a good warfare. I think that's in Timothy. It says, according to the prophecies that has gone ahead of you, 1 Timothy chapter 1, that thou mightest wage, I like that word, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee. I like the word prophecies. Prophecies is not just limited to prophetic utterances, it's true. But we are talking about prophetic teaching, prophetic wisdom, prophetic will of God. According to the will. Prophecy is also the unveiling of the will of God. What did I call prophecy? I can't hear you. So when the will of God is being unveiled, there is automatically spiritual warfare. There is warfare. So Paul was telling Timothy, he says, according to the prophecies that has gone ahead of you, that thou mightest wage a good warfare. So you cannot wage warfare outside the program of God's will. Can we say amen? So within the boundaries of the program of God's will is that the believer must be adequately instructed on how to wage warfare as a good soldier. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at that again. Hallelujah. You know that Paul was a soldier. Amen. So anything around Paul, people who work with Paul, you must be well instructed. Glory to God. Amen. So thou therefore endure hardness. I like the word hardness. It's not hardship, amen. It's hardness. He's talking about the discipline of becoming a soldier of Jesus Christ. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. I like the word good soldier. So a good soldier endures hardness. That hardness is the discipline of becoming a strong soldier for Jesus. So endure hardness. No man that wars or wages warfare entangled himself with what? The affairs of this life. They didn't say you should not handle the affairs of this life. They said don't let it entangle you. So now it takes a lot of wisdom to handle affairs and they don't entangle you. So many Christians have been entangled already. So once you have been entangled already, you are losing battle. Satan is already conquering grounds over your soul. So Paul says, don't be entangled with civilian affairs. Some translations say civilian affairs. I remember when we went to serve, you know, they used to call us bloody civilians. How many of you did they call you bloody civilians? Otondo. Bloody civilian. You know, actually, I've had the experience before, you know, my NYC anyway. I remember then in Lagos State, there was a time during the military governor, one military governor, that they sent soldiers into secondary schools to begin to train people to become militia. So I went to join them. I didn't know that it was not easy. I ran away. It was schooling. I remember then, they would tell us, fall like a log of tree. So I remember the first time I fell like a log of tree, blood came out of my hand. Somebody was laughing at you, but chalele. So I remember our commander then will be walking, will be calling us baggers. I remember that word, baggers. I don't know who did, who was it? Baggers. Oh, tondos. But the end of it is that they wanted you to be focused. So there is something called hardness. Everybody say hardness. Hardness is the discipline that a Christian must have in the heart of spiritual warfare. Hardness. Endure hardness. When you look at the way they train soldiers, they endure hardness. So soldiers are trained to endure hard circumstances. When they go to battlefield, they just give them a pack. They say there's flagyl inside, maybe one loaf of bread, and just one bottle of water. That's how they go to battle. So you can stay for weeks without food as a soldier. I'm talking about physical soldier. If you like too much food, you can't go to battle, sir. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. So you can't entangle yourself and become a good soldier of Christ. And because of that, you'll not be able to please him that has called you to be a soldier. So God has called us to be soldiers. Can we all say that? I can't hear you. Let's say that one more time. So like I said, as you grow spiritually, your level of spiritual warfare changes. And it means you must be further instructed. So there's something called advanced spiritual warfare. Now, advanced spiritual warfare is tied to your understanding. What did I say? Let's say that again. The spirits that you wage war against, they are spirits of perverted light. They are spirits of understanding. You cannot deal with spirits in the air. Thank you. Ephesians, let's start from verse 10. You cannot war with spirit in the air without growing in understanding. So that's the part of the tools of the revelation of Jesus Christ, is to equip the soul with sufficient understanding to be able to handle spirits in the air. So much of the warfare that many believers are taught are what I call demonic warfare. It's not even warfare in the sense of warfare, because it's still preparation of warfare. Okay? The real warfare begins when you begin to fight spirits in the air. Spirits that are over territories. Territorial spirits. Spirits that rule nations. Spirits that rule globalized spirits. Spirits that determine courses of nations. Princes over territory. In this Ibadan, we have demons, but we have spirits. Where our spirits are in the air. So our actual calling is to wage those spirits in the air and bring all of them down under the feet of Jesus. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
Okay? So, for you to be able to wage war against spirits in the air, you need to understand how to be clothed properly. You need to be on guard. Your armors, you must have understanding of your armors. I like the word armor, okay? You get armor from army. So, army without armor. What will happen to that one? Will be hammered. I was just trying to look for something. So you can't talk about the army of God without the armors of God. So Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Can we all say the whole armor of God? Come on, say that again. I like the whole armor. They're fully kitted with the armor of God. Now, the whole armor of God is an armor of meekness. The whole armor of God is an armor of meekness, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, you cannot stand against. I like the word stand against. Another word for stand against is actually resist. You cannot resist the wiles of the devil if you are not clothed in the armor of God. So many believers have gone to do ayagbangba. You know what I call ayagbangba? When you do ayagbangba, if you are not clothed, if you go into the battle without kit, sir, they are flying bullets. It's not even flying, but some are even intentional. Stay bullets is one. Some are intentional. So Paul was telling them that, said, what makes you stand against the wiles of the devil? And it's not, when you mean devil, there are more of spirits in the air, like we have been taught. Spirits that determine courses of nations. spirits that rule over territories, spirits that determine how people live, people's thinking, their values, spirits that even influence teachings in church. Yes, they are in charge. They're in charge of doctrine. They're in charge of philosophy. They're in charge of shaping mindset. So they can perch upon a minister to teach doctrine and put people under bondage. Those are wiles. And Paul warned, spoke by the Spirit concerning that. It said about the latter times. He said many will depart from the faith. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We are coming back here. Are you with me this morning? 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. So you know that this is the prophetic spirit of Paul, in Paul. That some shall depart from the faith, giving it to what? Seducing spirits. So seducing spirits are spirits in the air that publish doctrine, that twist understanding for the purpose of shaping people wrongly. And doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. So when we say spirits and devils, we are not just talking about demons that are elemental spirits. We have elemental spirits, but we have spirits in the air. So what Paul was referring to in Ephesians 6 verse 10 are those spirits that rule in the air. Take me back to 6. Thank you. So again, so it means that spirits that rule in the air, they rule by wiles. What did I say? That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, is it chapter 2? He said we are not ignorant of the devices. Devices, schemes of the enemy. Least it takes what? So that's the purpose of scheme is to take leverage. So evil spirit can have leverage over you. You can be a child of God, but they have leverage over you because you are ignorant. That ignorance is not even knowing what they are doing. It's to standing in the full program of God. Remember, Paul says, put on the whole armor. He didn't say understand what the devil is doing. First, that's not the issue. The issue is put on the whole armor. So, what understanding and light equips you as a Christian is to be well clothed for battle. Amen. You need to understand your armor. What did I say? You know, there's an aspect of spiritual warfare where people are understanding what Satan is doing. Sir, if you understand what Satan is doing and you are not clothed in the armor of God, did you get what I'm saying? It's not sufficient to know. You cannot even discern Satan properly without armor of God. Another word for armor of God is called armor of light. It's understanding. So without understanding and light, you are still prey. Can we say amen? So who could take time and, you know, be clothed in the armor of God? Glory to God. Amen. So this is what I'm interested in. It says, so that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the armor of God is, I call it the armor of meekness. And meekness is a demonstration of wisdom. Write that down. Meekness is a demonstration of wisdom. So if the armor of God is what you need to stand against the wiles of the wiles of the devil is the craftiness of the devil. The schemes of the devil. Then, it means the armor of God is the installation of the wisdom of God that protects you against those wiles. It gives you advantage against those wiles. Can we all say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not hearing your amen. Amen. So before we go there, let me just establish. I said, so the armor of God are armors of meekness, okay? We should have that. So we are warring against arrangement and battalion of spirits in heavenly places. Okay? Thank you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now let me emphasize. So your enemy is not a person. What did I say? Oh? Can you give me another translation? Before you start fighting your mother-in-law, you start fighting your stepmother, before you start fighting, some people even believe that it's their mother that is doing them. You had a dream and somebody pursuing the cutlass. Say flesh and blood.
Flesh and blood
is not my enemy.
Not my enemy.
You see, all those things are manipulations of evil spirit.
They can put anybody's face in your dream. They are terrible. I've seen all kinds of things in my dream. When you grow in understanding, you start some dream will stop. Yes, I can tell you from experience. I used to suffer a lot until I started growing in faith. So, then I remember when I was a young Christian, I used to suffer from demonic oppression a lot. At times they would choke me. I would say, oh, in Jesus' name, I don't know what I'm talking about. And at times I have dreams, I'll be oppressed. So when I grew in understanding, just a word of faith, I started dealing with spirits in the dream. And that's why I knew that. So I used to like those dreams. By the time I come out, I say, I come out a victor. Eh? So before they used to pursue me, now I started pursuing them. You are not saying amen with me. I remember one dream I had as a young Christian. I had suffered so much. But then I was growing in word of faith, understanding. I knew who I was in Christ Jesus. The understanding of my authority as a believer. So I had one dream. In that dream, some evil spirits were chasing me. All of a sudden, I just stopped. My Bible became a rod. I won't forget that dream. And I went after them. I was so happy when I wake up. You don't understand what that means. I was a teenager. It was a lot of victory. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, God is changing the tide in your life. Amen. The enemies you saw last year, you shall see them no more. Amen. Because God is equipping you. You are coming into greater strength, greater wisdom, amen, greater authority. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. For our struggle. So you don't struggle with demonic spirits. You cast them out. So these guys are not demons. They are spirits in the air. Our wrestling. Can you give another? That's amplified. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now look at that. Contending only with physical opponents. So your opponents are not flesh and blood. Your opponents are spirits that use flesh and blood. What did I say your opponents are? So don't hate anybody. We are so love. That's why love is a weapon of war. For the Christian, you know, we have been wrongly taught in church. People start cursing physical people. There's no place in the New Testament for that. You walk in love to people, you bind the spirit that is using them. If you have a difficult boss at work that the enemy is using against you, that boss is not your enemy. Satan is your enemy.
Amen.
So you walk in love with your boss and bind the devil. I've seen a lot of Christian gatherings where that is being misunderstood. So we need to be, it's because you are not, you know, it takes sophistication to do that. You know, when an evil spirit is using someone, it is easy for you to see the person as the enemy. It's not the enemy. It's being used by the enemy. The person is also a victim. So you should pity the person. The person is a victim of satanic captive. And we are supposed to free people from captivity. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That's what soldiers do. When they conquer places, they free prisoners.
Yes, sir.
You are supposed to be light shining in the midst of darkness. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That your amen is weak.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't have any enemy on earth. I'm not lying to you. I have no enemy on earth. Are there people that hate me? Yes, I pity them for hating me. I just pity them because Shanu Onisa. And I pray that God should not destroy them.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, nobody saying amen.
Amen.
If you fight me too much and I've done nothing to you, it's you that want to kill yourself. I'm praying for God to help you to change. Because you want to fight God. How many of you know that God is the Olugbeja? God is the perfect defender. That is why it's not good to defend yourself. Because you cannot bring God to a battle. You cannot bring God to a battle where you are the one that is already orchestrating it. Or you are spoiling it. I like God defending me.
Hallelujah.
And if God will defend you, you must be a man of peace. Oh, you didn't hear that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Stop fighting people. Stop fighting people. Lay down your swords. If you are still fighting people, I'm picking it in the spirit. Some of you are still fighting. Stop fighting people. Turn your swords to plowshares. Eh? Instead of fighting, go and develop fruit of the Spirit. Grow in love more in 2025. Some of the battles you have, when you grow in love, there we go. When you walk in love, even your enemies become your friend. Have you ever seen people that hate you, but they are still helping you? They cannot help it. Because you are clothed in an armor of meekness. So manage problem. It's not prayer that will solve it. It's meekness that will solve it. That's the apostolic solution to it. It's a woman to be clothed in a meek and quiet spirit. Then you win your husband over to the Lord. Eh? Without words. Because you are chaste. You are wearing the armor of meekness. And the man is converted. And you have taken him to prayer mountain. And you have prayed on his head. But Kogbosa, oh, you're not getting me. So people are hearing me all like, amen. He's not going to walk that way. You need to be clothed. You know, when you wear meekness, you are wearing armor of battle. A meek soul is wearing the very armor of God. Because God is meek. Can we all say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's make progress. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, thank you. So, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending against physical opponents, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So, we know that all this, look at that. They say, where are they? Where are they? Heavenly places. Okay, take me to Ephesians 2. So they are in the air. Okay, they are not on earth. They are spirits in the air. So it means that if you are going to fight this spirit, you have to fight them where? Yeah. Oh, you are not getting me. They said the spirits are in the air. And you are here on earth. So how do you, if you want to deal with this spirit, where are you supposed to be? Yeah. You have to ascend where they are and dislodge them. So you cannot be flesh and fight this spirit. You cannot be carnal and fight this spirit. This spirit is for those that are becoming spiritual. That have become spiritual. If you want to wage, you know, the air force of any army is one of the most deadliest. Hitler almost conquered United Kingdom in the Second World War. By his airstrikes. Terrible. That's why the only thing that saved England was that they went into their tunnels. So Hitler would just fly over UK, just be dropping bomb. So one of the things that they said they did that, what's this guy's name? The Prime Minister. Winston Churchill did is that England used to do something called total blackouts. Put off the light completely. So it becomes difficult for them to target places. So everybody goes to hide. Yes, you can do your research. So, there's something called air advantage. Air advantage. For at a particular time, one of the things that helped the war was that the Allied forces, when America joined the war in 1942 after Pearl Harbor attack, one of the strengths of America was in the air. So many of the American fighters that came, they were terrible fighters with plane on the air. That was what actually, it's one of the things that gave them advantage, you know, over Hitler. So when you are dealing with in military sophistication, your hair advantage matters. Your ability to be able to fight enemies where? In the hair. So the spirits that are responsible to make men carnal and unresponsive to God, they are spirits of the hair. And Paul said those are the ones that we wrestle. I like the word wrestle. Wrestle. It's a combat. Are you ready for a combat? Many Christians they don't want combat. They want easy life. There's nothing called easy life. Amen. Soft life. I don't know where you get it. Jesus did not promise us soft. There's no soft life, sir. If he said there will be tribulation, he just said, I will be with you. Yeah. Meaning, ogumawa. But I will be with you. So that you'll be able to overcome. Can we say amen? So you like my teaching this morning. And nobody's going to fight it for you. That's why I'm teaching. Your pastor is not supposed to fight for you. Your pastor is supposed to teach you so that you fight for yourself. Can we say amen? Amen? Today we have believers that want ministers to pray for them. That idea of prayer contractor. So you carry prayer points. So the minister becomes a prayer contractor. There's no mediator between God and man. Hello? You are so lazy you can't pray for yourself. What a pity. One of the things we were taught in those early days of Christianity in this country that I partook of a little bit was how to pray yourself. We were taught how to pray. So we used to have prayer meetings then where they would all come out to us and begin to pray. They just begin to give us prayer points. They'll be flashing prayer points. And everybody begins to pray. Hours in tongues. Praying with scripture. So but today we now have prayer ministries. That's why Hagin said there's no ministry of prayer. People got offended. That all saints are called to pray. So, Ephesians 2 verse 3 talks about, let's look at that. Let's build my thoughts gradually, okay? This is the first in the series. So, wherein that in time past you walked according to the course of this world, comma, according to the prince of the power of the air. So, this air is what Ephesians 6 calls heavenly places. The air has places. What did I say the air has? There are places in the air. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So we have spirits in places in the air. And why do you think they are there? Have you ever thought about the fact that why should evil spirits stay in the air? If it's not important, they won't stay there. Have you ever thought of that? That's just a simple analogy. It means that, of course, we know that the air was where Adam originally occupied as the Adam of the earth. As the Son of Man, he occupied the air. The air is the heaven of the earth. He is the one that has the authority over the earth. So the one that controls the air controls the earth. Are you with me? So if you control the air, you control the earth. So evil spirits, they have always desired to take that air advantage. So another thing about the air is that air is you cannot journey to God without crossing this place called the air. Is the heavens of the earth. So nobody can ascend into the dimension of God without having to go through this place. It's just like they cut off the heavens from the earth. It's actually a military strategy. If you want to, I'm not sure, I think it was in Biafra War. The Biafran army cut off west from the east at Benin. Maybe that our area at Benin. That is how they disconnect west from, that is Lagos, from accessing Igboland. And they did it in all those other areas. So one of the areas that they wanted to conquer was there. I heard that that's where Obasanjo came through. Obasanjo was the one that cleared that place. So why did they stay there? They didn't want a, you know, once you take the border, you have already cleared any opposition that causes you to enter into a territory. So this evil spirit doesn't want you to come into your territory. Our territory is to what? Is to function in the heavenly places of God. God also has his own heavens. What did I say God has? So you cannot go to that heaven of God and operate the government of God's kingdom fully without having to cross. So that's why the church that will sit on the throne, the man child that will sit on the throne will have to what? Overcome these spirits. I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
You have to overcome them. So from every level of doctrine, every level of light, from the milk of the word to the doctrine of Christ and God, are on wisdom for warfare at different levels. You know, like I said, you start with understanding your authority as a believer. I think we did that last year. And it's not something that we need to, it's something that we need to remind ourselves over and over. That as a believer, you must know your basic authority in Christ. Can we say amen? Faith in the Lord Jesus that culminates in the love of all saints. All that gives you an understanding of your fundamental rights as a child of God. If you don't understand that, evil spirits will still take advantage of you. So you must understand. Mark 16, thank you. They will still take advantage over you. Even if you're in an environment where doctrine of Christ is taught, and you don't know operation within the name of the Holy Ghost. So that's why we need to be systematic in the delivery of doctrine. Can we say amen?
Amen.
You should be sincere. You should know your level. You should know your level. If you still have demonic oppression, you know that you don't. Your faith in the Lord Jesus is not strong enough to be able to deal with them. I suffered that demonic thing, so I became a guru at it. When the Lord helped me, you know, when the Lord helps you, start helping others. So these signs have followed them that follow them that believe in my name, that shall cast out devils. So this casting out devils is within the scope of faith in the name of Jesus. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So this is warfare within the milk terrain. It is warfare within the milk terrain. These are demons you can cast out. You don't cast out demons' spirits in the air. You don't cast them out by declaration. You cast them out. There's a way they cast them out. You are not the one that will cast them out. It is God that will cast them out. According to Revelation 12, God was the one that moved Michael to cast out the dragon and his angels. It was because the man-child occupied the throne. So it's a different order. Can we say amen?
Amen.
As you grow, your order of warfare changes. So, but at the level of the basic milk of the word, your growing in faith in the name of Jesus grants you power over elemental spirits. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I call them serpents and scorpions. They are serpents and scorpions, sir. It's different from the dragon. The dragon is a flying serpent. It's not on the ground. Sure, you understand what I'm trying to say? So, Luke 10 verse 19 is different from Ephesians 6 verse 12. Luke 10 19 is still talking about elemental spirit, basic warfare that you cast out, that you trample on because of your faith in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you must have faith in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What did I say you must have? That faith is climax in love. You know, we talk faith, but we must teach love. So love is the perfection of faith.
Amen.
Faith without love is not complete. And you cannot even walk in love without faith. You cannot walk in love without faith. Like I taught last year, that's one of the most cancerous topics in Christendom today. Many believers don't know anything about walking in love. And that is one of the greatest tools of spiritual warfare. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So, take me back to Mark 16. Let me just call me because I have to start from the basics and build up. Okay? Because I know we're all at different levels of faith. For some of you this year, you must stand strong on your authority as a believer. You should not take any nonsense from Satan. All the nonsense that you took in 2024, this year there shall be no more.
Amen.
Nobody should, no devil should be slapping you in the dream. If you come and meet me, I'll send you back. Go inside, have that same dream, and go back and slap the devil. You know, in those days, when they beat you, and you come and cry, you come home, your mother will say, "Oya kwada." They will slap you. "Oya kwada, log back here." You know what I'm talking about? You go, "Hey, mommy, daddy beat me." Then your mother will slap you again. "Daddy beat you, Abby. Where's your own hand?" So all those little devils disturbing you. I said, this is your year.
Yeah.
I call them little ones, all those little devils. You should be angry. Devils of pornography, of masturbation. After finishing powerful meeting, one devil is telling you to go and check pornography. I slap that devil. Say, "I'm too holy for things like that." Pornography is dirty. There's nothing good about it. All those little devils, you should deal with them completely. Stand your ground. Stand your ground in 2025. I'm speaking to some people. I said, stand your ground.
Amen.
In your family, stand your ground.
Amen.
Over your children, stand your ground.
Amen.
In your place of work, stand your ground.
Amen.
If you have a place of work that is given to evil spirits, before you go to office, pray. Charge yourself. As you are going there, begin to speak over the heavens of that place. Break evil spirits there. Break their work there. You should be like that. Stop being casual. Stop going to office and you gist yourself away. Be focused. So these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. That's through faith in the name of Jesus. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up servants. And if they drink up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And what? They shall recover. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So this faith in the name of Jesus is authority over oppressive demonic spirits. It's authority over oppressive demonic spirits. Now look at the next verse. Verse 19. It gets more exciting. No. Okay, so after that, the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Next verse, please. There's one verse I'm interested in. Thank you. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and what? Confirming the word with what? Signs following. Can we say signs? So these signs are signs of the authority of a believer. Signs of the authority of a believer. They are demonstration of your fundamental access to wisdom at that level over the enemy. Luke 10 verse 19. Luke 10 verse 19. So you must be interested in this. If you are not interested in this, you will suffer assault. Even if you don't know it for yourself, know it for your children. People around you, because devil plays anky pranky. He will play anky pranky with your health. You know that there are some issues of health that is demonic attack. I'm not talking about maybe you're not eating well and all that, but you know this one is demonic. It's a demon that is holding your health. Yeah, I'm telling you, and there's no way. You will go to doctor. You will be going to doctor. Up and down. You know that kind of thing. You know that it's a demon that is at fault. If you don't take your stand, you will keep having that problem. Don't take your stand. Well, you just go and get faith confession and begin to confess the word of God. At that level, sir, you need faith confessions for healing. And you stand your ground on that. You have to be stubborn in faith. Can we say amen? So, if you don't, the enemy will keep oppressing you. One thing I know about evil spirits is that the day you know, they know. Oh, you didn't get what I said? I said the day you know, they know. And the day you know and that they know, the day they begin to twirl you, sir. Yes. The day you know and they know that, they know. But they prey on your ignorance. And evil spirit knows when you are afraid. They know the difference when you have faith and when you are doing ogboju. When I'm doing ogboju, they are like that. Yes, they will taunt you until they know. You know, there's a way you are taunting me and I keep quiet. Then the time you come, I will give you warning. When you give them one, they'll look at you. I'm going to But what are the late wise up? Friday, you don't wise up, Abby. They will come again to try you. By the time you handle the spirit and beat the spirit, because you beat spirits and it runs away, you go and tell the other ones that, but why did it change you? So you know what they do again? They now come back again. I need to let you know, because this is what I want to dwell on spiritual warfare for this January. They come back. They don't leave you like that. They are stubborn. That's how they are. You know Agbiru. You know the way they are. They are stubborn. So they go and bring themselves. So that's why when you gain advantage over an evil spirit, you don't sleep. Eh? I call it reinforce. Because when you don't reinforce, they will come back. If they meet you, relaxed, they can take advantage. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Maybe if you have victory over an habit that once plagued you, you are not supposed to rest when you have small victory. You keep striking till you have perpetual victory.
Amen.
Have you ever had victory over something and later you lost that victory? It's because you are not wise. When you have a victory, you don't rest. You rejoice. I'm not saying you don't rejoice, but you keep pressing on until you have full dominion. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I said the Lord will help you this year.
Amen.
The Lord will strengthen you.
Amen.
Will grant you wisdom.
Amen.
Can we all say amen?
Amen?
So, Jesus said, I give you power over snakes and what? Scorpions. So, these are elementary spirits. I want to show you. And over all the power of the enemy. So, the apostles, the 70 went out and, the power of God moved. And they were so excited. So, they came to give Jesus the report. And Jesus said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So this name is powerful. You must know it. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan, what? I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I believe that this one looks more like a prophecy. It's a prophecy of what will eventually happen to Satan when the church begins to grow in spiritual warfare. Now, look, how do I know? Continue. So I give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Can we all say that? Oh, I don't like that, your response. Can we all say that with faith? Some of you are too afraid. You're always afraid. Too afraid. Amen. Am I talking to somebody? Tell your neighbor, say, nothing shall hurt you. You're always afraid. So when, there's an aspect of spiritual warfare where people are always afraid of the devil. Why should you be afraid? We are going in his name, not in my name. It's not in my name, it is his name. You should be afraid of his name. Because Jesus dealt with them. He spoiled principalities and power, made open show of them, nailing them to the cross. Jesus disgraced the devil forever. They can never forget what Jesus did to them. Terrible defeat, sir. Complete KO. As he called on your pakoli, the demon, sir. So that is it. So I go in that name. I'm teaching you this because some of you, one of the things the enemy does is that the enemy attacks you because you are not perfect. But when you fall into sin, repent and hide in his name. You are not fighting the enemy by your name or by your strength, but by his name. It is in his name. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Don't remain in condemnation and guilt. Leave that. And be clothed in his name. Be clothed in his name. Take me back to that Luke 10 verse 19. So look at that. Amen. And nothing shall by any, I love this, nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you will have protection. When you are in warfare, you have protection. Once you do warfare according to rules of engagement, you have protection. Anything, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now look at the next verse. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not. That the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
Now, what Jesus was saying here is actually very deep. Jesus was telling them that that there's something higher than elementary spirits subjecting to you. There's something higher. What is higher is that your name is written in heaven. What does it mean for your name to be written in heaven? It means that you are part of the heavenly church. There is a church that Paul describes in Hebrews chapter 12 of people, believers, whose names are written in heaven. What does it mean to be written in heaven? It's talking about taking your place in the heavens of God. Coming into the revelation of the heavens of God. Coming into the inheritance of the heavenly life. Jesus said, that is what I am praying for you. So you can see that the desire of our Lord Jesus is that the church comes what? Into fullness and maturity and dominion over the enemy. Can we say amen?
Amen.
The church that will put all enemies under the foot of Jesus must be a church that is established in heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, this is the next verse. So we must learn to first resist the devil before we overcome him. So overcoming Satan is overcoming the powers of corruption. Eh? Overcoming the gates of hell. But before you get there, you must learn to resist him. You only overcome someone that you have resisted. Eh? You will resist, then you will overcome. What did I say? I can't hear you. So you must learn to resist. Okay? We must first resist the devil before we overcome him. Overcoming Satan is overcoming the forces of corruption and death, which is what Paul calls in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the last enemy. Eh? Now, that last enemy includes taking completely from creation the concept of physical death. But it begins because what caused physical death was spiritual death. I hope you know that. Eh? In the day you eat this food, you shall die. The actual death there was not Adam's body falling. But actual death was disconnection from the life of God. So the actual death is the force of perishing or corruption.
Amen.
And Jesus said, Paul said that enemy what will be destroyed.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
It's not just going to be destroyed in principle. It will be destroyed in its whole entirety. Because the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel what? That will bring life and immortality to light. What did I say that gospel would do? So the concept of subduing, overcoming the forces of death and corruption is overcoming Satan in its own entirety. But before we get there, we must learn to what? Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So the word resist, okay, is the word anitestemi, and it means to withstand, oppose, make war with, or to stand against. Let me say that again. It means to withstand. So that word resist is the same one that Paul used in Ephesians chapter 6. As to stand against is resist. It is a military word. You mount up opposition against an advancing enemy. So when the Bible says, when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard. That is resisting. That's in Isaiah chapter 59. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
When the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of God shall what? Lift up a standard. That standard is the is a building. It's mounting up opposition against what is coming. You know, the Lord taught me one thing. He said, you have to learn to prepare for warfare before it comes. Many of us are not wise. When you are wise in the spirit, you can pick a warfare before it comes. That is not when you should be relaxing. Yeah, you prepare yourself. You know, you can prepare yourself for battle. When you enter the day of battle and you turn back, it means you did not prepare. It means your strength is little. Huh? Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Oh, I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
I believe that the reason why I'm teaching this is because war is coming. And we must be prepared. So, like I said, to withstand, oppose, make war with, or stand against, that's the meaning of resist. So, to resist the enemy at different levels of our growth, we have to resist the enemy at different levels of our growth, from the name of the Holy Ghost to the name of the Son and to the name of the Father. There are several levels of resistance. So names are resistances. What did I say names are? When you carry a name, you are carrying a formidable force that can resist the enemy. So, the name of the Holy Ghost is a form of resistance against certain kind of devils. The name of Christ is a resistance from the world. The world is an opposition. Huh? The name of the Father is a resistance from the dragon, which is the high priest of death. So all the names are forces of resistance. So when you want to resist, you have to be clothed in those names. Or clothed in what I call the armor of meekness. So armor of meekness are what? Empowerment to resist opposition. It means you can resist. You need to be clothed in all the armors of meekness. Rick Joyner called it, I think in Final Quest, he said the armor of meekness or the mantle of meekness is the greatest power in the universe. That's what he used. Very powerful. He said it's the greatest power of the universe, feared by both angels and demons. So when they see somebody clothed in the mantle of meekness, they are afraid. It means it's a weapon of war. The armor of meekness is the greatest armor in the universe. It is actually the revelation of God's nature. The armor of meekness is the revelation of God's nature. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Now ask me why. Come on, you're not asking me. Because meekness attracts grace. Meekness attracts grace. And there's something Satan cannot handle. It's called grace. Grace is the force of God's throne. That's why the throne of God is also called the throne of grace. So meekness brings God into the scene. Meekness brings God. Anytime you are meek, you are surrendering to God. It means God is the one controlling the thing. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So meekness attracts grace. Grace is the force of God's throne. Grace is one thing Satan cannot ever understand. Grace is far beyond Satan. Grace is a swallow of sin. It's a destroyer of sin and death. Take me to Romans 5. Hallelujah. So the armor of meekness is actually the strength of God's grace. And that is what you use to enter into a battle. Agbara Olorun. It's not when you carry grace of God, you carry the very armor of God. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Oh, I'm not enjoying that. Your amen.
Amen.
Give me Romans chapter 5 quickly. Glory to God. So grace is the strength of God's life. And Satan cannot deal with grace. Sin cannot handle grace. Death cannot handle grace. Grace swallows sin and death. Grace is what ends the reign of sin. Moreover, the law entered that offense man abound, but where sin abounded, look at this, grace what? Did much abound. That's the thing about grace. So when sin abounds, grace abounds more. So it means that anytime sin abounds, grace abounds more. The abounding grace is what conquers sin.
Yeah.
So, no, it's no matter how sin abounds, that grace cannot tower over it. I'm so excited. That is why you should not fear any battle. There is no battle that the enemy can mount against you that the grace of God cannot surmount. Oh, you are not saying amen.
Amen.
God is more powerful than your enemy. God is more powerful than your challenges. God is more powerful than your nature. Your old man, your weaknesses. None of them can survive the strength of God's grace. So anytime you see anything that is like a challenge, just mount up on grace. Grace abounding more. Grace abounding more. Grace abounding more. Glory to God. Grace did much more abound. So I thank God grace can abound. So, sir, I don't fear any challenge. I only try to access the revelation of abounding grace. So, this is our year of abounding grace.
Yeah.
Abounding grace. Abounding grace. Abounding grace. Sin is abounding on the earth. Matthew chapter 24. Iniquity is abounding. So how are you going to last? You know, at times when I think about the world, the way the world is, at times you can actually have some shivers. When you consider how life is getting more terrible, darkness permeating everywhere, how are you going to raise your children in a very dark world where the sense of morality is totally perverse? In those days, before you laju, you will have become a man, a full-grown man with bebe. Right now, your child that is on 5 can get you lost on a mobile phone. They can lock you out. You know what I'm talking about? A child that is 10 years old is smart, sharp. So we live in a terrible world. Morality is going every day. You know, in those days, morality and culture could keep you. You see a good girl, if you grow up in a very good cultural home, you can do marriage well. So you know what I'm talking about? Sir, it does not work again. Ojutila. Everybody take mumbai. You know what I'm talking about? So that cultural thing you learn from home cannot keep your marriage. You need God. You need God. You need to know God. So when you go to Abraham, in cooler for come. How can I come? Say, do I cooler for only for a little, sir? I want your tea bad. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. You know, I'm a pastor now. I handle issues. Yeah? In those days, I remember, you know, I just thought of somebody being my mommy treated my dad. My daddy enjoyed, honestly. You know, men of those days, they were chief. Oh, bah. I remember the whole time, my daddy, I used to, every night, he ate plantain and meat and bokoto. Doesn't eat a akai. Jesus Christ. That's what I like dodo. My daddy eats dodo. He doesn't eat our food, just dodo alone. And stew and meat. And the dodo will be plenty. This fucking knife. Cut meat. Shaki. Bokocho. Orishishi. In those days. Sometimes when I look at what our mothers handled, and they still stayed in marriage, you know that they had more strength. But some of you just must, hey, Pastor, what happened? I'm stressed. What did he do? He did not say, I love you. Oh, so your problem is that he did not say, I love you. I don't know that I've been trying to. I give him food, he did not eat. So, see, human strength has weakened the way. You need God. Amen. If you are here hearing me, you need God more than you need oxygen.
Yes, sir.
You can't survive the future. Men have become weaker. You can't do anything without God anymore. Morality cannot keep you anymore. You can't do morality for your children. They need God. I bear my children up before God regularly. I say, God, encounter these children. It has to be by encounter. Because how do you handle LGBT? How do you handle the gay world? And you know, how do you handle the world of human rights? Of your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Meaning that, you know, the recent thing is that they need to upgrade the Bible. I hope you know. Bible, you know, you can upgrade it. Can you imagine? That's the world we have. So you need abounding grace. That's what I'm saying. In the world of total darkness and total depravity of human values, of perversion of the soul, what you need is abounding grace. Abounding grace through abounding light, abounding revelation of Jesus. Abounding revelation of Jesus. That our sin had reigned unto death. Even so, my grace, what? rain. So that's the abounding grace is what brings the rain of grace. Through what? Righteousness unto what? Eternal life. By what? Jesus. So the beautiful thing about meekness is that meekness is what attracts the grace of God. So you can't enter into the reigning of grace without meekness. Write that down. You can't enter into the reign of grace without meekness. You can't enter into the reign of grace without meekness. Now, let me tell you something. Satan wants us to live within the strength, does not want us to live within the strength and boundaries of grace. Satan does not want you to live within the strength and boundaries of grace. How? Satan wants to lure you out of grace. Because once you are out of grace, you are under covering. You are out of covering. So you can be assaulted. Once you leave grace covering, it's easy to fight you. Now, how does Satan lure you out of grace? Simple. He makes you proud. Take me to James chapter 4. That's how Satan lures you out of grace. When you are proud, it becomes a problem. Any form of pride is actually an affront to grace. You need to know that. Any form of pride is an affront to grace. That's one of the deceptions of the enemy. He makes you so much fool of yourself and you leave the place of grace. And when you leave grace, the only way you leave grace is that you are proud. You think of yourself more highly than your heart. James 4, thank you. Start from verse 4, okay? Let's do verse 4. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
So pride is the greatest enemy of grace. Now you need grace, an abounding grace, but pride is the greatest enemy of grace. Pride is the greatest enemy of grace. An haughty spirit goes before the fall of a man. That's the spirit of pride. Pride is the enemy of grace. So the armor of meekness is the antidote to pride. You know, when Satan makes you proud, he wants you to offer coins alone. There's nothing as more terrible than that. Because God resisted the proud. This is not the God himself resists the proud. You know, pride reminds God of Satan. Nothing resists the proud but God. God! Hell! So imagine Pastor God resisting you. Who will you pray to? So if Satan is your problem, you know, see, if Satan is your problem, you have no problem. What did I say? Because you can run to God. Hallelujah. But if God is your problem, he said, God cannot be my problem. God can be your problem when you are proud. If God begins to resist a man, amen. So if this thing was not a reality, the apostles would not write it down. That's why I said, okay, before you start from verse 4, he was talking to a church. Now, let's start from verse 4 so you know, understand the context of why James was writing it. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
From whence come wars and fightings among you? So number one, they were fighting. When believers begin to fight, some of those wars are internal wars, are wars amongst brethren. Brethren A is fighting brethren B. You have time to be fighting your brethren. You should be fighting Tyson. Or fighting Tyson Fury. What's this guy's name? If you have power to fight, go and fight Usyk. Because now you want to fight your brethren. You want to fight your brother. You should fight Usyk. You know, that's a real fight. Oh, you're not getting the joke. Because you want to fight. Go and fight for the belt that they will pay you money for. Why are you wasting your fight? Amen. Oh, go for Johnny. Lord Jaja, toma fun lowo. Believers fighting. From whence comes wars and fighting among you? So they were not just, they were fight within. Now, it's not just fighting your brain, it's also fighting God's purpose in your life. Fighting transformation. Fighting overcoming lust of the flesh, lust of the heights, pride of life. Fighting doctrine. Fighting understanding. Understanding is sent to you to change you, and you are fighting it. Come they not hence, even of your lust that war, what? In your members. Ye lust, and have not. You kill. So these things are not physical things. And desire to have and cannot obtain. So it was a war of lust. You know, in the New Testament, to kill or murder is not physical. It's when you eat. Hatred. Run from hatred. Run from it, because it is haters are killers. They are murderers. You cannot even allow any tinge of hatred. When tinge of hatred goes to your heart, what do you do? Catch it! Fight it! Because once hatred settles in your heart, you become akpaniyo. You are a murderer, as far as God is concerned. No murderer can have eternal life in him. You cannot have the blessings of God's life residing in your soul if you're a murderer. You kill. Take me back. You lost and have lost. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume upon your lust. So imagine praying because you want to show somebody that are you ni doju timi emi no alog gbadura olorun temi na eti odi. All the reason why you are doing what you are doing, so that you will show the other person that my God, you know the way children do. Maybe your child goes to another child to go and play, and that one, the daddy just bought it toy for him. I say, see the toy my daddy bought. He say, my daddy too will buy my own toy. So when your daddy buys your toy, you now go to go and meet that your friend and say, see the toy that my daddy bought for me. It's bigger than your own. You know we do that? So when you ask, if God loves you, he will not answer you. If you want to consume it where? Or you're lost. Or to prove a point that your own God is bigger. Olorun temi to bi GTL lo. Sebi Olorun kan na la Johnson. Can we say amen? I hope you're not angry with me this morning. So you can see fight of brethren at times is based on one, somebody wanting to have preeminence over the other. It's not good to have an edge over your brother. It's better that you take away the edge. Let your brother ride you is good. Because if you don't allow your brother to do, if you try to fight that thing, you will sin. In trying to prove a point, you will sin. In trying to defend yourself, you will sin. The way the scripture teaches us is that we think of others more. We esteem others better than ourselves. Those are wisdom of meekness. Yes, sir. You esteem your brother than yourself. Why fight with your brother? Let him have it. So who had the right, Abraham or Lot, to take that place? Abraham had the right, but he lost his right. Instead of fighting, lose your right. God is bigger than that little thing. So immediately Lot took it again. God now spoke to him. Oh, yeah, lift up your eyes. You see everything I give you. But Abraham would never have known that if he chose to fight with Lot and strive with Lot. You cannot afford to strive in 2025. Amen. Because strife brings in Satan's foot in the matter. Strife brings the enemy to have legality in your matter. Pastor, am I making sense, sir? So just let go. What did I say you should do? At times when you let go, you look stupid, Abby. Somebody said something to me and my wife recently. He was joking, but he was yabbing us. But I heard and she heard. She said she wanted to talk about, but God checked her. I said, when I even heard it, did not even land. I had enough weapon It just dusted it away. I said, time will prove who is right. It seems I feel I'm foolish. I'm not foolish. I'm seeing the call of God. I'm following God. It will show. It's not going to show in the world to come. It will show on earth. Oh, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. It will show. It will speak. It will speak. So I don't even have time to answer people that mock me. I'm busy following God. That's how busy I am. I'm busy. So what you have is money. You don't have anything, sir. If what you have in this life is that you had money and you didn't get God, you didn't have anything. Okay, so do you have much money than Elymas? The guy doesn't know. I mean, okay, we heard that. I'm not sure he's born again like the people say. Maybe he just has a good heart and he gave. Do you have money? So, you don't need God to have money. Sure, you know that. So what is it? You have, well, maybe you have 1 house or you have 2 houses and you are bragging. Me, my problem is that I've not gotten God yet. So you are not my problem. My problem is that I've not handled God the way someone like Paul, the way he handled God. That's my own problem. I don't have a problem with you. Time is going for me. So I don't have a problem with you. Can we say amen? Amen. So God will so clothe you so much that mockery will not mean anything to you. Amen. What people call shame is not shame to you. Eh? What is shame? Who define what shame is? What God calls shame is not what man calls shame. Shame, you know that. Do you know that what man celebrates is not what they celebrate in heaven? In fact, what they celebrate here, they don't even see it in heaven. Have you read Following God's Plan for Your Life? Again. The only thing that comes to heaven is when you serve God. The will of God is obedience. If you have your money and that money is not useful for God, nothing. They don't reckon you in heaven. They don't even know you, sir. They don't know many rich people in heaven. They don't know them. They don't know them at all. They don't know them. What is highly esteemed by man is abominable before God's sight. What do you care? Is it what God thinks of or what men thinks of? I'm not bothered what men think about me. I'm going to stand before God and give accounts. Is it men that will judge me? So some of you need to die to opinions of men and start living for God. Because God is the true rewarder. God is the one that lifts up truly. Glory to God. Sure, you know what I'm talking about? You know, obey song on Kete Kete, do you know? So stop trying to tell Elonu, sir. Please God, follow God, serve God, love God. It's not easy. I remember I was preaching to someone and said, "Ah, Otolo is someone me, but ah, Ole, will you go lay, go lay?" It's she fell long. When Satan knows that opinion of men does not count on you again, he's afraid of you. Because okay, Ele is son. He's only on the kolonro, katolon so, Otoni. So when you leave the head, you know now me and my wife, we have lost friends. I'm not yet 50. I'm getting closer to 50. We have lost friends. So this is the issue. What is now? No, I'm not even talking lost. Physically lost friends. We have lost friends physically. So what's now to your game? Do you know how long you will live on it? All the lala, cuckoo lala. Eh? Where will you get you to? Anything you cannot move from this earth to God is useless. We just, you know, when you go older, you get more wiser. Yes, sir. You don't have anything. Really, you don't have anything. Really, we brought nothing into this world. And of a certain, we are taking nothing away. But there is something I can tell you that you will take away. You will take God away with you. You cannot even take your children away. You cannot take your husband away. You and your husband, Emma, down alone differently. They're not going to bring you together. Eh? You answer God for yourself. Your wife will answer God for themselves. Your children will answer God for themselves. That's why as a parent, try everything to teach your children the way of the Lord. Do your own part and let them make the choice. Because they are going to answer God themselves. No child will now say, I didn't hear the gospel. They will show you when your daddy was preaching to you. And your parents, they will show you screen. It will be like season. Oh, really? They will show you everything. Nobody will have an excuse before God. I hope I'm not getting you angry. New Year, have you? Papa, you do the daily New Year, sir. Hallelujah! Amen. So, anything that God, that you're going to consume upon your loss, God should not give you this year. Amen. You got to, if that thing, if God give you, Ofe Fishako, no, ni fwen. Ofe Fishako, Ofe Fishako. Ofe Fibugafan, when you're all on the fwen, sir. They are not helping you if they give you. Hallelujah. If in a relationship, his relationship is not marriage. Come on, his relationship is not marriage. You have brother, and so what? Is it Jesus you have? You his brother, I have not married though. Sir, everlasting life, no inheritance. You know, you say, the brother that you still fight, you sir, oh sure, Dremaja. I'm not lying to you. You will fight, sir. Oh, you are the best thing that ever happened to me. Ah, yes, sir. I know. You are the apple of my vine. You are the lily of my garden. If I cannot see you, I will not sleep. It's a lie. My wife said, "Come in some days ago." She said, "That day, my bully, 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 she consoled." If it's before I will go. Forget that, sister. Forget that, sister. This is. If I cannot see, I cannot breathe. It's a lie. I'm telling you, it's a lie. He run me. Say, oh, what the oxygen? He run me. Back beer. Don't let them use lies for you. No, I'm telling you the truth.
Lies.
Team Barry, I'm on the jail. Maybe you're quiet, Lisa. Better face reality. You know, a lot of people enter a relationship onto marriage. They don't have this mind. That's why they're saying they are stressed. We are stressed. What does it do? He didn't do it. He does not love me anymore. He does not love me. So kill on road, Elisa. You will grow into it now. That gives love. We first go away. Then you now have to now build real love. You build by command a real love. The one that does not fade. The one that does not fail. The one that is really for better, for worse. Forget for better, sir. It's not true. It's because you will face challenges in marriage. You will face tough times in marriage. So if you're not building on true love, you're not planning to last in marriage. All this is mine. Is so, anyway, let me not. You're not planning, so wise. You're just wasting time. Because if you don't build well, you'll be heartbroken. Sir, you will be heartbroken. Some brothers have made some sisters go mad. Some people land in psychiatry hospital because they didn't expect what they'll meet in marriage. I'm not saying to be worse for you. That's not what I'm praying for you. I'm only saying there are challenges. and be wise. Build well. Build on the solid foundation. Stop becoming shallow. Don't be shallow. Eh? Be spiritual. Hallelujah. I remember when I was consulting my wife, I really showed her. Ah, man. My wife begged a lot. So it was retreat, Nisa. I think I took that only, I took her once, out only once or twice in our 8 years of courtship. I won't lie to you. Bible is a Welisa, tape. My wife listened to tape, fire. Take her to conference. That's what we're doing. Give her a message. I say, transcribe it. Give her a book to read. That's what we're doing. So, man, I used to wonder your whole generation. You people, you like Igbadu, Kilimanjaro, Baitmo, Ibachi, Item 7. Eat with me. I like Igbadu, sha. I like Igbadu, sha. It's not like Igbadu is good, but it's like, you know, they be like that. Ojo gulo waza. Glory to God. I just want you to grow. That's why I'm built with wisdom. That's what I'm not saying. Don't enjoy yourself. I just want you to have more sense. Have more sense. If you are caught in, pray. Pray more. A lot of people are caught in, they don't pray. They don't have plan for prayer. Jumping up and down from one eatery to the other. Oh, pray. Do you know the family you are marrying into? You know the mother-in-law you are going to meet? Do you know the family you are going to meet? Oh, pray, go grow. I pity you, sir. I pity you. Never see anything. You should, yes, courtship should be a time of equipping. You're not even spending time to know each other. You think you know somebody by going to some of you don't research. You are blinded by love. Love does not make you blind. You should be close to people that know him, know his real life, know him. When he does not have money, what kind of person he is? Oh, I'm going to talk about a fight here. You bet him where he had money. Where does he have money? He's an angry man. Let's go ahead. Now look at, so verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Look at that. Know ye not that what? Friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. So it means that they were building partnership with the world. And once you begin to do that, you already begin to enter into the waters of pride, or you are trying to leave the covering of grace. Amen. Whosoever therefore will be what? A friend of the world is what? You are not getting me. Look at it. Let's look at it again. Whosoever will be what? Will be what? So a friend of the world is somebody that is becoming proud, living grace. So when they say somebody is an enemy of God, so a believer can be an enemy of God. You know, this scripture was written to believers. This is James, the pastor of the Jerusalem church. He's saying that who therefore will be a friend of the world is God's enemy. Wow. Now look at verse 5. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God what? Come on, you're not answering. God what? But he giveth what? So God himself resists pride, but gives grace to the humble. We also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see there in Paul. I taught a little bit on this on Thursday. Satan's strategy to use what God has blessed Paul with against Paul. So the thing is to make Paul be exalted above measure. So to be exalted above measure is to be proud. There's something called measure. In your life, there's something that you must have in measure. In different seasons of your life. You must not have it abundantly. You must live within the boundaries of measure. That's why it's good for you to be always gentle and sober. What I mean, sobriety is a state of the heart. So even when God blesses you with something, you are sober, you are wise. So look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Unless I should be exalted above measure. Look at that. Above measure, through the abundance of what? The revelations that was given to me. That was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Verse 8, please. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. Verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficiency of grace. For my strength, look at that, is what? So grace is the strength of God. What did I say grace is? And grace is made perfect in weakness or in meekness. Because weakness is meekness. I'm talking about weakness according to man's definition. I'm talking about God's definition of weakness. So this weakness is actually meekness. So the strength of God is always made perfect in what? Meekness. When you are meek, you see the strength of God's grace. So many of you used to see meekness as actually an armor of God. When you are meek, you attract grace of God. You attract the strength of God. You bring the wisdom of God to life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen. Most therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may what? Rest upon me. I like this. So there was something Paul, God wanted to rest on Paul. It's called the power of Christ. I believe this Christ here is everlasting. This is everlasting Christ. So God wanted to give Paul power. And the only way they could give him was to take him through a process that will humble him. It takes the journey of humility and meekness to receive the power of God. The actual power of God. For power of God to rest on you, you must go through a process of meekness. You must go through a process of humility. You must be clothed in meekness. And this was eye judgment. Thank God that Paul responded to Jesus. He was able to help us to see this thing. So God will give us wisdom this year.
Amen.
So be able to make proper use of your processes.
Amen.
So in this dimension of your walk with God, nothing is a disadvantage. Because all things will work together for your good.
Amen.
All things, including things that are meant by the enemy to disgrace you. God will use it as an advantage for you. You know, that thorn in the flesh was, you know, like I said, God permitted that thorn in the flesh because God saw it as a means of helping Paul. But Satan wanted to destroy Paul. But God used that. So there are things that the enemy is wants to use against your downfall and destruction. God will use it for your glory. God will use it for your glory. God will use it first to humble you. Take away flesh. And then God will now come and crown you with himself. He will cause power to rest on you. How many of you want power to rest on you in 2025? Then you must allow training of meekness. Allow God to humble you. I heard Regina say this, you know. Regina is one of my fathers. I can't deny that. I read Regina. Regina said that if you want to grow in grace, you want to grow, that you must be looking for something to humble you. That you need increasing humility to grow in grace. So everybody should be looking for something to humble him. You know, we are always looking for something to exalt us. We are not wise. So you should be looking for humility opportunities. You didn't get what I'm saying. What did I say you must look for? Meekness opportunities. Things that are designed to make you low. You know, those are the things we run away from. Go to where you are celebrated. No, where you are tolerated is very good for you. It will help your soul to be humble. Because truly, if you think that that idea that everybody will love you, everybody will honor you, woe to you if everybody honors you. That means you have liars around you. Woe to you if everybody praise you. No, but everybody cannot praise you. So when you see people that don't praise you, you should be thanking God. It means that something real is happening in your life. You know, we have an idea is that I honor those that honor me. I push away people that dishonor me. Sir, people that are dishonoring you are meant to humble you. You must allow them. They are also doing their own work. Yes. If you have in your office, instead of fighting the person and using prayer point to scatter the person's head, you have somebody in your office that is always opposing you. That's an opportunity to grow in love. Oh, you didn't hear that. Well, nobody's answering me anymore. What did I say? It's an opportunity to. You have a boss that's always subjecting you. Anything you do does not mean he hates you. He did this. I don't know. That's an opportunity to grow in love. That's an opportunity to increase your ability to forbear. Can you bear somebody like that and still love the person and pray for the person and buy gift for the person? And still serve the person well. That's power. That's an opportunity. It's not devil kaka. All of them bless any. Will you see opportunities in 2025? Opportunities for growth. You are praying for patience. How can you be patient now when people that will frustrate you are not around you? It's not possible now. Oh no, Efumi Suro, 2025, Efumi Suro. The people that will frustrate you when they are around you, now know that God has answered your prayer. Now be praying to God, okay. That Suruti Mung Badre and say, what for me? Why is it? Because you need to bear that person. You don't get what I'm saying. I want you to have sight, proper sight. See opportunities around you this year and use them for your growth. Use them for your glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You have a stubborn wife, love her. Amen. Be an example of Christ. Amen. And she be Christ died for us when we didn't want him.
Yeah.
When we are sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a savior. You are supposed to be a savior in your house. Oh, man of God. So love your wife now. Love her. Serve her. Be an example to her. Wash her with the word like the Bible says. She will grow. She will change. Use that advantage and that opportunity to grow spiritually. It's an opportunity now. Learn to be more meek. Learn to be more gentle. Pastor, you don't know what you're saying. If you know the way my wife talks to me, you can choose not to reply. You can choose to see it. She be babaloje. A man is supposed to be a father. When you married, who gave you the wife? Come on, you're not a damilomo. Hey, to damilomo. They're just exchange. Your wife will always have a father. They're just exchange fatherhood. So the day engineer Ashalu handed over my wife to me, I became a father. That's what it means. So a father should act like a father. There are many things that your wife will do, act like a father. Excuse her. Forgive her. Overlook it. No, no, no! you will have hypertension. You just have hypertension. Learn to walk away. Learn to talk less. When you have armor of meekness, there's nothing your wife will say that will enter you. You just dust it away. You deflect it. You just excuse her. She unbeknownst. You know when you do those things, Satan will say, you are foolish. Oh, then, yeah, what if we left for there? You are not out there. You know what you are doing. Yeah? That's where a savior is. A savior is very intentional. Yeah? Are you getting wisdom?
Yes, sir.
Same thing with the woman. They say you should be meek and quiet. Meek and quiet spirit. They didn't say Jaguda spirit. They didn't say Soro spirit. Yeah? Meek and quiet spirit. Meek. Those are the people they call holy women. So holiness is not external. It's adorning the heart with meekness. And what? It says, let it be the hidden honor. Let's start from verse 1. Amen. You know, there's no way I would teach and won't enter marriage. Sure, you know that. By now, you should know. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Likewise, be what? Ye wise. Be in subjection to your own husbands. That if they what? Obey not the word. So, Peter was even writing women that their husbands were not Christians. Believe me. Your own is still a believer. Holy Spirit is still a basor. Oshingbo word is not bad. Oba kodi bad. Oba kodi bad. Kodi bad do state. If any not obey the word, that what? But they may also, may without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives. Look at that. So, can you say, conversation can win?
Yes.
Oh, I don't like the word. What did I say?
Conversation can win.
Is it Peter that said so? Look at that. Conversation can win. It's not talking that wins in your home. It's not replying back. You can talk, I can talk. You are graduate, I'm a graduate. Vamo kawejuelo. Master Sole, mini PhD. It's not by talking. It's not by I tackle you. It's not, you can't win like that. You are not wise. You are foolish. A foolish woman tears down a house. A wise one builds it up. So a wise woman is a meek woman. She used her conversation to win. I say you will not spoil what God is doing in your life. Only forward I share. So while they behold your chaste conversation, what? Coupled with fear. Your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Look at the next one. Whose adorning? Let it not be what the outward adorning of plating of the head, nor the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not what? Corruptible. Amen. This is it. I'm not against you looking good as women. You know I'm not against it. But if you use 1 hour to look good externally. Use 100 hours to look good how? Inside. Don't be foolish. Because when you get to, when you do like this, the thing goes away. But what you do inside does not go. Because I know that, you know, we live in a generation that we are very shallow. We are particular about how we look externally. And I'm saying that is bad. But are you particular that much more how you look in the spirit? When you check the mirror, you see the way you look. Ah, mom, I'm fine. So, do you know that there's the word of God is your mirror that lets you know where you are in the spirit? I said we will not be foolish this year.
Amen.
You'll be wise. Look at it. Who's adorning? But let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek what? So can see meekness is an ornament. Is an adornment. When you are growing in meekness, you are adorning your soul.
Amen.
Meek and quiet spirit. Which in what? Which in what?
Of
is of what? Great price. so he can see. So even God respects meekness. Hell! Eh? God respects meekness. So meekness is more where is more richer than money. I didn't say anywhere in scripture where money matters is great in the sight of God. But they say meekness is greater in the sight of God. Will you not clothe yourself with meekness? This kind of person, it means that is God is attracted to him. This is my own opinion, please. If you are clothed in meekness and God is attracted to you, then don't burn any man. Oh, you didn't get what I said. If God can be attracted to you, then the man is not. Then don't burn any man. In your home, if you clothe yourself with meekness and God is attracted to you, then God will touch your husband. He will open his eyes to see that this person is a good person. So when it comes to meekness, you don't lose. You cannot lose with God. You cannot lose with God. Nobody gets God and loses. Not possible, man. It's not possible, man. This is what our generation calls SU. You see, those SU women, they are better than us. They are very wise. They kept their homes. They're not like generation now that have so we have so much wisdom, but we can't keep anything. They are Swegbe Union. They are not Swegbe Union. They know what they are doing. They were very wise women. They were wise women, meek women. Very meek women. You know, people like Mama Helen, Mommy Adebola, wise women. Wise women. Very gentle women. Women like Mommy Adebola, even when she talks, meekness. When she's talking, you see a lot of meekness. One time, you know, where she wanted to pray for us and all that, so we knelt down. She knelt down with us. She knelt down with us to pray for us. We thought that to start that we are your children. No, she said she's okay like this. If you are meek, you conquer your home. For after this, a manner in the old time, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being subjection to their own husband. Holy women. So, holy. So, what is. So, it means that holiness, real holiness, is meekness. What did I say real holiness is? God will give you understanding. I can't hear you say amen. So pride, according to James 4, let's go back to James 4. Let me round up my thoughts now. It's not to be in subjection to God. So I want to give you a simple definition. I will take up here the next time. Pride is not to be in subjection to God. Somebody that is proud is someone that is not in subjection to God's will. So at times you need, because our definition of pride is funny. Is when you are not in subjection to God's plan for your life. It means you are proud. Because the word submit means to be subject to. Therefore, look at it. Submit therefore yourselves to God. Look at that. Submit therefore yourself to God. Be in subjection to God's will. So you are proud when the will of God is not what you are subjecting yourself to. You have another plan. It's in the many in life decisions, in career decisions, in marriage decisions. If it's not the will of God you are subjected to, you are proud. It means you have another plan. It means you don't believe what God has for you. So submit therefore yourself to God. And that is how you are saved. Many believers have been attacked today because they left God's program for their lives. They went into doing something else that overloads in there. There's nothing that can be as worse in your life doing something that God's hand is not upon. You know what we want to do? We want to do our own thing and say, God bless it. May Ishmael live in your sight. Ishmael does not live in God's sight. Ishmael is not a child of promise. Allah among by. You know, it is between Abraham and Hagar. So, but we want Ishmael to live. So, God bless Ishmael. God said, don't bless Ishmael. Cast away Ishmael. So, you cannot force God to bless what he did not authorize. If God is not behind it, he cannot receive the blessing of God. So, you have to learn to live your life within the program of God. Submitting to God is submitting to God's will. Submitting to God's plan. Submitting to God's program. Allowing God to lead. Now, when you are like that, you are full of grace. When you stop submitting to God's program for your life, you open yourself to the enemy to make God begin to resist you. So submit therefore yourself to God. Resist the devil. So you can see it's first submission to God. What did I say it is? What is it first? Then you can now what? Resist the devil. So you resist the devil from the place of grace. This submission thing, we must understand it. So, a woman resists the devil from his house by being submitted to her husband. A man resists the devil from his house by being submitted to Christ. To Christ, under his leadership. If you're a man and you don't have people that can talk to you, talk sense to your head, people that you fear, people that you submit to, you are not wise. You are opening the roof of your house to Satan. For the head of every woman is a man. The head of man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. That is the order of submission. And it is an order of protection.
Amen.
So, you resist the devil from the place of grace. What I understand is that when you are in submission, then you have power to resist the devil. Whatever you say can carry weight in the spirit. But when you are not under, you are opened. So, you know, that thing called submit yourselves therefore to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. One more scripture. God is giving us wisdom this year.
Amen.
I said God is giving you wisdom this year.
Amen.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. It is good for the younger soul. You know, the thing about it is that younger people always think they are wiser than the elder. They want to slow you. I want to slow you and go on to you, Elosa. Yoruba proverb says that what elders see when they sit down, you cannot see when you are standing up. If you climb the tree, you can't see it. So, it's a wisdom of God when you submit. It is to protect your soul. If you have more knowledge, you don't have more experience. You know, it takes time to have experience. You can have knowledge, but you don't have experience. What elders have as an advantage over you is experience. So younger, submit yourself to the elder. This is in the church. Those that have gone ahead of you spiritually. Yea, all of you be what? Subject to one another. We'll look at this another time. And be ye what? And be ye what? So humility is a cloth, sir. Is a garment. Meekness is a garment. For God resisted what? The proud. And give what? Grace to the humble. If this is year of our abounding graces, it must be a year of total submission to God. So if you want grace this year, then start submitting to God. In every area of your life, and you see grace walk. Come begin to talk to God right now. Let's begin to talk to Him. Stand to your feet. Let's begin to talk to the Lord. Lift up your hands and begin to appreciate the Lord and pray for yourself that the Lord will teach you how to submit to Him, submit to His will, submit to His plan, submit to His program. Come on, lift up your voice and begin to talk to God.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.